that people do thank you in different ways. You know, a number of people have nominated me for various awards and stuff, and it's because of the people that I've received. You know, the doctorate I got from the university, someone from the community nominated me for that. And they may not have come and said thank you to my face, but they've, you know, said thank you in different ways.
Mohammed, Kathy, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Between Ourselves was presented by Olivia O'Leary and produced in Birmingham by Karen Greger. Every 3 or 4 years, a choir of Radio 4 listeners goes off on pilgrimage. This year, they're following St. Paul's missionary journey through Greece. And you can join them on the daily service in a quarter of an hour on Radio 4 Longwave, while on FM we continue the Book of the Week, Judge Sewell's Apology, in which panic spreads amongst the community of Salem following accusations of witchcraft. And now, on Radio 4, a further 5 numbers in which Simon Singh concludes his quest to get to the root of some of mathematics' most intriguing numbers.
Welcome to the final programme in the series, and we're going to wrap things up by exploring the number 1729. Why? Well, 1729 is of great significance to dramatists, because you can think of it as 1729, the year in which the great Restoration playwright William Congreve died. Or anyone from Maryland will know that their state was founded in 1729. Alternatively,
this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, age of Aquarius.
Devotees of the musical Hair will know that it closed after 1729 performances. But perhaps it's mathematicians who have a particular nostalgia for 1729. And it's all thanks to one of the truly great geniuses of the 20th century. Born in South India in 1887, Srinivasa Ramanujan was an entirely self-taught Indian prodigy. Mathematician Marcus de Sotoy takes up the story.
It was really remarkable that he actually got a mathematics book with a lot of theorems without any proofs, and it so fascinated him. He spent a lot of his childhood going through these statements, trying to prove each one of them. But it prompted him to discover a lot more things. And because he was very isolated in India, he became a clerk in the Port Authority in Madras. He decided to write to G.H. Hardy, perhaps one of the most famous mathematicians in England at the beginning of the 20th century, in Cambridge. Hardy opened this package, and after an evening spent with his friend Littlewood looking through these notes, they realized that here in India, out of nowhere, was a genius who had discovered new things, was claiming to have proved things which were truly fantastic.
I was exceedingly interested by your letter and by the theorems which you state. 1. There are a number of results that are known already, or easily deducible from known theorems. 2. There are results which, so far as I know, are new and interesting, but interesting rather from their curiosity and apparent difficulty than their importance. 3. There are results which appear to be new and important.
Hardy was so utterly impressed that he wrote to Ramanujan and invited him to Cambridge.
This was a big move for Ramanujan. He was a Brahmin, and it was against his religion to move out of his country. But he gave up the security of his family and things in India in order to go to Cambridge to have some people to walk through this mathematical landscape which he'd been walking through on his own for years.
Ramanujan did not disappoint. Over the next few years, he made a whole series of beautiful and groundbreaking discoveries.
Ramanujan became very famous, actually, for a set of numbers called the partition numbers. This is a set of numbers, if I take 5 stones, how many different ways are there to arrange those 5 stones into different piles? So I could have 5 piles with 1 stone in each pile, or I could have 2 piles with 3 stones in one pile and 2 stones in another. But how many essentially different ways are there to do this? Ramanujan became famous for constructing a formula which tells you, say, the 100th partition number. If I take 100 stones, how many different ways are there to arrange those stones into different piles? Hardy never believed there was such a formula. And it was Ramanujan's almost innocence, the innocence of this mathematician who hadn't been taught all the accepted theorems and rules of the West, and almost that innocent fool going in without all this Western mathematics on his shoulders saying there isn't a formula for this, freed him up, and he was able to actually discover a formula for these numbers.
He was a formula man. He had an amazing insight into the structure of mathematical formulas, and he proved strange equations that certain formulas were equal to certain other formulas, and nobody in their right mind would ever believe this could possibly be true, and it turned out to be correct. He was a Tamil, and numerical symbolism is very strong among Tamils, so they're a very numerate culture. But he had this amazing natural talent, and I don't think anyone has ever explained where it came from.
That was Ian Stewart of Warwick University, who, like many modern mathematicians, is perplexed by Ramanujan's incredible talent. Perhaps more than anybody else, Robert Knagel has tried to get to the root of his genius. While writing a biography of Ramanujan, the man who knew infinity, he examined the great man's archive for clues.
If you look through his notebooks, they do not at first seem like higher mathematics. They're not filled with a lot of the symbols associated with higher mathematicians that scare most of us off. A lot of times, they were calculations, they were relationships of ordinary numbers, ordinary integers, where he went through these calculations and saw relationships among them. While there was enormous creativity, enormous insight, enormous intuitive understanding of mathematical relationships, part of that came as a result of an intimacy with numbers and the relationships that came from working in the same way that a musician practices her scales. Ramanujan was down in the depths with mathematics day in and day out from the time he was a teenager to the end of his life. He worked with that as intimately as a painter does mixing his paints and trying things on the canvas and rejecting them and trying something else. That's what Ramanujan was doing with mathematics.
According to Ramanujan, who was a devout Hindu, the goddess Namgiri visited him in his dreams and wrote equations on his tongue. Whatever was behind his genius, he seemed to have an unparalleled knowledge of numbers and their properties. He called each number a personal friend and knew their individual quirks. This appreciation of numbers is best illustrated by a famous incident involving the number 1729. While Ramanujan was suffering from tuberculosis, he was visited by his friend and mentor, G.H. Hardy.
Hardy, who was one of the senior best Cambridge mathematicians at the time, went to visit Ramanujan in hospital, and he happened to say as he's coming, he said, "Ramanujan, I was in taxi number 1729 when I came here. Not a very interesting number, I think." And Ramanujan said, oh no, Hardy, very interesting number. It's the smallest number that can be written as a sum of two cubes in two different ways. So 12 cubed is 1,728.
And 12 cubed means 12 times 12 times 12.
That's right. 12 cubed, 12 times 12 times 12 plus 1 times 1 times 1 is 1,729.
Right, which was the taxicab number.
That's right. But also 10 times 10 times 10 plus 9 times 9 times 9 is also 1729. And this is the smallest number for which this works.
So there are two essentially different ways to pack 1729 sugar lumps into two cubed boxes. And this is the smallest number which has this property. Other smaller numbers can be written as sums of two cubes, but not in two essentially different ways.
1729 is often known as a taxicab number because its significance emerged when Hardy mentioned that his taxi was number 1729. And just to summarise, it's interesting because 1 times 1 times 1 plus 12 times 12 times 12 equals 1729. And get this, 10 times 10 times 10 plus 9 times 9 times 9 is also 1729. And 1729 is the smallest number that is the sum of two cubes in two ways. Now, you might not find this staggering, but this is exactly the sort of thing that makes numbers special. It's what mathematicians love. In fact, as Julie Lippmann reveals, there's been a covert campaign by mathematicians to smuggle the number 1729 into popular culture.
There's a TV show called Futurama, which was created by the same person that created The Simpsons. And it's set in the year 3000, and there's a robot on the show named Bender. And he gets a card from the machine that built him saying, "Merry Christmas to son number 1729. It's also on a spaceship there, the Nimbus, It's written on the hull of the Nimbus. And the reason that it shows up is that one of the writers on the show has a PhD in math. And later, when he was asked about it, actually, he said that getting the number 1729 on the air was worth all 6 years of graduate school.
These things actually become really important. For example, Ramanujan's taxicab number. This is an equation. It's the equation trying to find numbers such that you can solve x cubed plus y cubed equals 1729. This equation is a very important equation called an elliptic curve. And anyone who is using mobile phones now and wanting security on their mobile phones to be able to send their credit cards securely on their mobile phone, they're using properties of these special elliptic curves, and in particular, these numbers that Ramanujan found that satisfy this equation.
In fact, taxicab numbers are so important that research into them has continued right up to the present day. For example, 1729 is the smallest number that can be expressed as the sum of two cubes in two different ways. But what is the smallest number that can be expressed as the sum of two cubes in three different ways? In case you haven't worked it out yet, it's 87,539,319. This is said to be a taxicab number of order 3. Mathematicians have also discovered the taxicab number of order 4. It's the sum of two cubes in four different ways. And they've also discovered the taxicab number of order 5. It's the sum of two cubes in five different ways. But nobody yet knows the taxicab number of order 6. It's probably about 20 digits long, which means it's bigger than a billion billion. And Christian Calladay of the University of Auckland is trying to track it down.
The challenge is now to compute the taxicab of order 6. It has been proven that this number can be located in a finite interval, 10 to the power 18 to 10 to the power 23, but all grid computers, all networking of computers today are not powerful enough to tell us whether the number we have, it is the smallest or not. It's a finite computation, but it's a huge, unfeasible at the moment computation. So the only thing we can think of at the moment is to have a probabilistic result. And this is indeed where we were focusing for a couple of years. We have proven that with probability higher than 99.8 that we have got the number, but of course it is not absolute certitude.
Whatever it turns out to be, the taxicab number of order 6 will be special, just like all the other numbers we've looked at over the last few years. Remember, we said 4 is special because it's the number of colours you need to colour any map so that bordering countries have different colours. 6 is special because of 6 degrees of separation and the small world problem. 7 is special because of how many shuffles you need to shuffle a deck of cards. And 23 is special because, well, I'll let mathematician and DJ Adam Spencer explain.
There's two of us in this conversation at the moment, dear listener. If we both pulled out our driver's licences, it'd be unlikely if we had the same birth date. So a group of two people probably don't share a birthday. In a group of 200, there probably is a shared birthday. How large does the group have to get before you think, yeah, there's going to be a shared birthday? A group only has to have 23 people in it for it to be more likely than not to contain a shared birthday. I love the number 23 because that's just such a counterintuitive result. And when you explain that result to people, it gives them a small insight into how beautiful and subtle some areas of mathematics can be.
So 23 and all the numbers in this series are special. In fact, I would argue that every single number is special. And when you think about it, that has to be true. Imagine we looked through the list of numbers, and each one of them was special for some reason or another. Then eventually, we come to a number that is dull. However, that number, which is apparently dull, is actually really special. It's special because it's the first dull number. So you see, every single number must be special.
A further 5 numbers was presented by Simon Singh, and the series was produced by Adrian Washbourne.